Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Tara.
Not a good morning for the 45% of Americans who say in this new Gallup poll that they are struggling with hardship caused by inflation.
Yeah.
And 10 percentage points of the 45% say it is basically crippling.
Mm-hmm. Not surprising.
Yeah. I mean, this is a big deal because there's no plan to address this at all.
No. In fact, the policies of the administration are exacerbating the situation.
Right. And lying about it.
Yes.
We could stop, if we would just spend trillions more, we could stop the inflation. Well, the only thing that causes inflation is spending money. I mean, so we go round and round and round and round. And the thing I've said is the Republicans need to do a much better job of explaining to the American people the straight and very direct and extremely simple line. I mean, this could be a sixth grade economics lesson.
Yeah.
Not a semester or a quarter, a lesson. About how when you spend money, I mean, I was talking to this the other day about this to Crash. He's 9, right? And he got it right away, you know? And he goes to Mathnasium. He's got some learning disabilities. He's a smart kid. So if you don't write it down, he's got it like that. But if he's got to read it, he has some struggles. But he, he got inflation like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just the idea, if you print a lot of dollars, then each dollar is worth less. Why? Because you have more of it. If you've got more of something, it's worth less. If you've got less of something, it's more precious. It's worth more. It's very simple concepts, very easy.
It's basic supply and demand.
I know. And yet our side just doesn't explain. And I think part of that is self-interested.
Yes.
Because they like their printing sometimes,
right.
Too, like,
yeah.
When they get stuff stuffed into the infrastructure deal.
Right.
So and that's part of it. But Lindsey Graham drew the straightest line I've seen to the spending, even though he was responsible for some
right.
of it.
Yes, exactly.
Got to add that.
Yeah.
But here's our senator.
If you're worried about inflation, the last thing you want to do is add $2.7 trillion to the federal deficit and spend $4.5 to $4.7 trillion on new government, which will pour gasoline on inflation.
Yeah, he's right. But the problem is that he voted for about $1.75 trillion of extra spending to begin with.
I know, and they forget that.
Yeah.
That's why Mitch McConnell will do this. He'll go on the floor of the Senate and scream about inflation. I'm like, what are you
right.
talking about?
Yeah.
You are the leader in the Senate of the Republican Party. You shepherded through that $5 trillion bill. I mean,
yeah.
Come on, give me a break. Yanking my chain. Anyway, this is part of the problem. And they'll just point fingers as this goes. Meanwhile, did you see the situation at Berea High School?
Oh, yeah. This is,
this is a sign of the times.
Yeah, it is.
This is something that you just wouldn't have seen 10 years ago when people in general were more reasonable. You know, it used to be, and I remember you and I having this conversation, Lee. I don't know if you remember it. It's been like, how many years?
I've been
here like
it's been
7 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's been like 3 or 4 years, maybe more than that. I don't know, but it was since I've been here. We were talking about, these protests that break out
right.
after shootings by yeah. police, right? And you and I were predicting, you know, it's going to get to a point where, you know, at the time, it had to pretty much be an unarmed perp, right, who got shot by the police before there'd be protests breaking out. Now Sharpton's marching and all that
yeah.
kind of stuff. It had to be like pretty clear cut, right?
Right.
That the police had greater power, weapons, whatever, than the suspect, and that's why it was unfair. And you and I were talking about if things got much worse, that we'd get to a point where if you were attacking the police with a gun and trying to kill them and they shot you,
mm-hmm.
that would be enough for the protest.
Yeah.
It'd just be enough that the officer refused to die. And, you know, that mentality is now throughout our society. I can't see this even being an issue 10 years ago.
Now, let's be clear. The situation Maria had nothing to do with any weapons.
No.
It was simply a fight.
It was a fight.
And then when you have, you know, school personnel and law enforcement that are already on the site, having to stop the fight from people who were throwing punches and threatening themselves and other people, threatening to injure people, and they have to be taken to the floor, that's considered to be abuse of excessive force. I'm sorry. If you've got somebody wanting to create a fight, my kid's out there, you're threatening my kid, I want the school administrator or person, take them down. I don't care. Race, gender, whatever. I don't care if they're, you know, what the situation is. If you've got a student that is creating a physical altercation and the only way to stop them is to put them on the floor and hold them down without doing any further harm or more harm than necessary.
Or permanent harm.
Or permanent harm. Yeah. Do it. Please.
I'll go a step further. If that's my kid.
Oh, yeah.
If that's my kid, then take him down.
And then you might better protect him because when he gets home.
What his dad's going to do to him pales in comparison to whatever the school resource officer might do. And in a way, it's a service, too, because you take the kid down. You don't hurt the kid. Yes, the kid was put in a chokehold.
That's not what we were told, and that's not what's in the statement from the Greenville school district.
It was a restraint, but yes, that's what they're saying.
Well,
you get semantics, but they did it to get control. Nobody got hurt.
And then, of course, we have certain political individuals who are injecting themselves into the situation.
We're not there. Yeah, I'm setting this up very poorly. Let me explain how this was so insane. Okay, there's video. The part on the video is where white school resource officers, school officials, are restraining black students who are involved in an incident. Okay. In the incident, a 15-year-old student placed another student in a chokehold. They had to break it up.
Yes.
In the process of separating the student, what are they supposed to do? Well, just go ahead and choke him out. We'll get to you when you're done. Go ahead, get the anger out. And then when you're done, go ahead, burn two blocks of businesses. Oh, no, wait, I'm sorry. That was...
That's Minnesota.
That was a different mayor in a different city. As school administrators separate the students, the 15-year-old assaults two administrators, okay? So the kid's already put another student in a chokehold. 15-year-old assaults two administrators. This is a kid out of control.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, another student who's 16 then interjects himself, I guess you could say, by assaulting a school staff member.
Right.
You cannot assault staff members.
And let's point this out, that if this behavior were done on the streets...
You'd get arrested.
Exactly.
You can't go in a store, get mad, choke somebody out. I mean, you can't do that.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so the 16-year-old is mad because during the altercation... A school resource officer shoved another 15-year-old student. So now the sheriff's office is pursuing charges against three students. Okay, so that's how this goes. I guess my point here is that, and I really need to get to coffee, Florence. I'm not doing very good job today. I'm really not. Okay. Got to do better.
I think you're doing fine.
Am I doing okay? I feel sort of scrambled.
Let's hit the coffee again anyway.
Yeah. You know, I was talking to my friend Heidi because she filled in for Vince.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she jumps on the phone with me at the break and goes, I'm sorry for this first segment. I'm like, what are you talking about? It was great. I truly don't know what you're talking about. But in your mind, when you're a host, if it doesn't feel straight, it feels scrambled, it feels like you sounded bad. And I knew exactly what she was talking about because me and Bobby Mack used to talk about this.
Oh, yeah.
How on Monday, your whole show feels off. Like if you don't do this for 2 days, your brain doesn't feel right. And it takes till Tuesday for you to click again. And it's a weird thing. Anyway, so yeah, I am all over the place. Heidi wasn't. But so anyway, so all that is going on. Now we have... I'm going to call them what they are, the race hustlers in our community out front in protesting this. And you know what they never say? Okay, well, what should they have done?
Yeah.
Let the other kid, just choke out the other one till he was unconscious? What would you have them do?
Yeah.
You have to respond with force. I mean, you know, and I think this is a thumbs up situation. Nobody's permanently harmed here.
Right. Yeah.
Nobody got hurt. But no, this is racism somehow.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, this would not have been a thing 10 years ago. These community activists were more selective in their outrage.
And let's be honest, there are times when these people do need to speak up. And I'm
sure.
talking about the community activists, not making any racial comment here. I'm just simply saying there are times when human rights activists need to speak up and address issues that are something that needs to be addressed by society. But breaking up a fight at a school and then blaming administrators and school resource officers for having to use force to stop somebody who's beating people up, sorry.
So then you have the principal outside trying to reason with the students. Good luck with that.
Well,
right?
That was a whole other thing, yeah.
This is the kind of thing, whole communities, black, white, everybody used to be.
Yeah.
This was not a problem. And this is just a sign of what our society is like now. Oh, and by the way, did you see this? The Greenville News got a hold of a statement from the family of the kid who was attacked, who was saved by all this.
Yeah.
And they're like, what the heck?
Yeah.
No, my kid was saved by the school resource officers and staff members.
Yeah.
What are we going to have, a new pro-bullying tolerance policy?
And they wonder why we are 1,000 teachers short. In the South Carolina public school system.
It's just ridiculous to ask teachers to put up with this. Ridiculous.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Can you imagine if you're jumped by a bully in school? A bully who then tries to choke you out. This is what this is. This is a violent physical form of bullying. And fortunately, you're not alone in the hallway. You didn't get jumped in a bad place where you have to defend yourself and the school resource officer's staff try to save you. And they get attacked by the bully. And then you're treated to the spectacle of, I don't even know how you go to school after this. 30, how many kids showed up for this protest? Oh, 50 to 75 kids protesting on behalf of the bully and his right to choke you out. This is a bizarre world we live in. You know what? This is the same thing leading to the mentality of those smash and grab robberies that are literally on the television every single day. Every day now. There's some more last night, a bunch of them in L.A. They just hit the high-end stores. Folks, it is now, if you are in L.A. and you're a high-end retailer, you're in New York, you're a high-end retailer, San Fran, same thing, big blue stronghold area, you don't have a right to your merchandise. You know how you do not have it, and the bullies and the thieves and the thugs have all the rights. And you're seeing that reenacted at Berea High School. There's a protest Thursday morning outside of Berea High School in response to videos that surfaced on social media. I saw one of them, and a staff member appears to put a kid in chokehold. This is what this is all about. Now, chokehold, that sounds like we're choking him out. No, it's just to subdue him. It's not what you're thinking. You could see it's online. The video's online. It's what caused this. A bunch of people sent it to me yesterday. Anyway. The incident began when a 15-year-old, this is the Greenville News, so it might be true. The incident began when a 15-year-old student placed another student in a chokehold. That's according to Lieutenant Ryan Flood, spokesperson for the Greenville County Sheriff's Office. As school administrators separate the students, okay, which apparently is a problem. You should have let them just, beat the tar out of the other kid, I guess. As school administrators separated the students, the 15-year-old assaulted two administrators. I gotta ask seriously to Tracy Fine. Is this what you want to defend? I mean, you're an adult here. You're gonna seriously do? I mean, I've seen her protest before. I don't always agree. Sometimes she has some good points, but are you kidding me? This is where you're gonna. This is the civil rights struggle. Are you of 2021? Well, you know what? We're done here. We are so done. It's like you can't find anything else to get upset about. This is so silly. This is not a racial incident. This is plain, old-fashioned bullying and thuggery. What about the kids who have to live with it? struggle day to day in school. And you want to know how bad it is? I'll tell you how bad it is. Something shocking I've seen since my child's been in the virtual program at Greenville Schools. It took me a while to figure out what's going on. I was shocked at the number of black children in the virtual program. I've been waiting to see the stats. It's very, very high. And when you watch a thing like this, you know why. Because good kids who want to learn, and this is the thing about these kids, they're with it. They're good students. Smart. And you know what you see? They're at home all day with the grandparents while mom works, and they're doing virtual. You know why? These schools are unattendable for them. They're unattendable, and it's stuff like this. So if Tracy Font wants to know who really gets hurt here, let me tell you, Tracy, it's the black kids. They're hiding out in the virtual program because they can't go to school. Because they're afraid. Because of crap like this. And thank God they have a refuge. I'm so glad. And it's fun at the virtual program. It's a whole different way of school. You get used, you start to get to learn, you know people. You get to know who's, because the grandparents and the parents are usually milling around in the back, or they're jumping on with the teacher, which I love doing during the day. I do it a lot. I'm on 3-4 times a day with her. It's one of the reasons I love virtual, especially for a child who struggles. And these, you can tell, these are kids with grandparents who are with it. These are kids who are going to be okay. These are kids who are going to be productive. And I thank God they're not in our schools having to put up with this crap. So if Tracy Font wants to march, she ought to march for no bullying. Because this is a person marching, her and Mr. Quarles, in support of bullies. And by the way, the family of the kid who got choked, I mean, you realize the kid got choked out here by another student. That's why they intervened. Somebody asked Tracy Font, what should the kid have been allowed to do? Finish choking him out to the point of unconsciousness? What do you want? This is why black kids are in the virtual program, because these schools are made unattendable by stuff like this. And you make staff afraid and resource officers afraid. You know what's going to happen? These kids are going to get a bigger, badder beatdown. That's what's going to happen. I'm so glad these kids have a refuge. I'm so glad there's a way for them to have peace and just go to school and be good children and good students. Finally, I'm so grateful for this program. I hope they keep it. I hope they do. And then when you see, I just have one more thing here. When you see the kid, the family of the kid who got choked out in this incident, saying that her family member was saved from a more vicious attack than the chokeout, and grateful for it, and that family's black, and that kid's black. What, Tracy Font, why are you with the bullies? Why? You're on the wrong side. You are on the wrong side. You ought to be with the black kids getting the beat down who can't go to school. You cannot become a productive citizen and concentrate in your classes if you live in fear in your school. You can't do that. But the world is upside down now. And the bad people are the ones who get protected, and the innocent are the ones who get the beat down. That's the problem in our country.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Try to imagine, for a moment, if Ivanka and Jared and Trump Jr. and all them were texting back and forth with their friends or emailing or that sort of thing about how their dad was mentally ill, had mental illness, diagnosable mental illness, or about how maybe Trump was, you know, had dementia or something like that. So can you imagine the absolute uproar? I mean, because see, I know what it would be like because I remember what they did. They were, the line went that they were spinning. Trump was so crazy, so mentally off. So out of control, he might start bombing, nuking other countries even. It could lead to World War III. It didn't happen because they made that up like they did everything else. It was so bad that Rod Rosenstein at a Department of Injustice had to wear a wire to try to record him being crazy and sneak in there because he needed to show the world how crazy Trump was, except they never were able to because he wasn't. But that was the line, and it sounded good, so the media spun it. But they never had any evidence Trump was nuts or had a diagnosable mental condition or had otherwise deteriorated. Remember they were talking about using the 25th Amendment to remove him? Because he was nuts. He was a danger to everybody and everything. Okay, well, now that we've imagined what that would have been like, had such a correspondence existed with the Trump kids admitting their dad was nuts, had a diagnosable illness that, you know, might cripple his ability to run a, oh, I don't know, country. That would have been round-the-clock news on and on and on and on, and the leaders of the party would have had to comment. And, of course, if they said anything other than Trump would resign, they would go down in flames. But we now have, in writing, Hunter Biden and a doctor, Dr. Keith Abela, going back and forth laughing about Joe's dementia. And how amazing it is that he manages to appear to function in public. This is funny. I'm not surprised Hunter would laugh at it. Hunter is an absolute scumball. This just broke in a new book that just came out from Miranda Devine, who is a reporter at the New York Post. What's her source? The actual texts Hunter sent from his not Russian disinformation laptop. Wow. You mean this is on the laptop? Uh-huh. Why are we just hearing about this now? And even better, that book's been out for about a week now. Where's the coverage of this? Where's the interest in it? Here's how it, the book highlighted the text from the laptop in which Dr. Keith Abela and Hunter were discussing Biden's dementia in a very factual manner. It was funny to them. This is in January 2019, okay? Abela texts to Hunter, "Your dad is the answer. Any man who can triumph over dementia is a giant. Think what he could do for our nation's needed recovery." Well, the joke here, which is not a joke, you can't triumph over dementia. You don't beat that like cancer and go into remission. It doesn't. I wish it worked that way. Maybe someday it will, but it doesn't. So Abela and Hunter are openly admitting guy's got dementia. Hunter, after Abela mocks his dad for the dementia, texts back, "You're such an a-hole, but that made me laugh out loud." Yeah, because it's funny when people get dementia. Wait, no, it's not. Especially not if they're running to run a country. Abela then goes on to say, "Perhaps he, Joe, can help us remember all we intended to be as a people, since he can now remember his address." Because, you know, he'd be at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, so it's, like, hard to forget where you live. How bad is Joe? I mean, we all know he's demented. We know he's off, right? I mean, you could tell by looking at him. But, I mean, the questions the media be asking. Trump can't remember his address. How's he can't be president? But it's not even a minor concern. They talking 25th Amendment? Oh, heck no. They're not talking about it at all. Because they don't exist to inform you. They exist to lie to you. This is a huge development. Abela goes on to say, "Perhaps he, Joe, can help us remember all we intended to be as a people, since he can now remember his address." prompting Hunter to respond that his dad doesn't need to know where he lives. Because that's the one thing the Secret Service gets right about 75% of the time. This is unbelievable. I mean, this is a president's child who's deeply involved in his affairs, admitting to guys that he's demented. Might not even know where he is or what his address is. Wow. Then in another exchange a month later, Dr. Abelow and Hunter are talking about a podcast they wanted to do together. They didn't ultimately do it. That would involve notable people and talk about the traumas they've endured in their lives. Dad is our first guest, Hunter writes. Abelow then asks Hunter if his dad can recall details with the dementia and all. Hunter responds that Joe can't remember much these days. But since it's all fake news anyway, I don't see the problem. This is how they talk. What is Hunter saying there? Everything that the media tells you is fake. So it doesn't matter if Dad can't remember any of the details of the current affairs in the country he's running. But folks, how many times have I pointed this out to you? When Joe will say these things that you're like, did you? You haven't caught a newscast, have you, bud? Or if you did, you don't remember it. Like he'll say stuff he says that you're like, how do you not know that? It just went on in your country. I mean, we're into the G7. And by this time, months before the mainstream media had reported that the police officer, you know, the Capitol police officer was not murdered by Trump supporters. He'd had a stroke. It was natural causes. And Biden stands up, tells the whole G7 that Capitol police officer Brian Sicknick was murdered by Trump supporters. And you're just like, what do you think that happened? There have been several other examples of this where you're just like, wow. I mean, this would explain why he keeps telling the same compulsive lies and forgetting that the Washington Post has given him 4 Pinocchios, the media mocked him, and his PR staff had to clean up the mess. As earlier this week when he repeated this lie that he used to build, that he used to drive a big rig.
I used to drive an 18-wheeler, man.
Yeah. Oh, I wish.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
I got to. There was a huge kerfluffle over that in July. They had to go back to the 70s to find a campaign appearance where he sat briefly in the passenger seat of a rig. But if you hear that clip, he's not saying he sat in a passenger seat. He said, I used to drive a rig. I used to drive one. So, I mean, it's so bad with the dementia. He doesn't remember when he gets busted for lying and he tells the lies again. And his sons, they're laughing. At least he'll be able to remember where he lives. And the media is not interested. They're not interested. Folks, which tells you once and again, you cannot trust them. They are there to manipulate you and nothing else. Well, quite a response on the text line, which is 71307, the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line to the last hour. We started with Berea. I'm not done with Berea yet. This is a symptom of everything that is wrong in our society right there. When you have adults who should know better out marching with kids in front of a high school to defend the bullies who jumped another kid, and you got the parent of that kid who's black saying, what are you talking about? The staff saved my child. You want to know why we have these smash and grab robberies? We're not going to have luxury stores in America anymore, not in blue states, not at the rate we're going. So I was talking about my son being in the virtual program and how I was shocked in the beginning of the year to see how many black kids were in the program. I was trying to figure out, like, what is up with this? It didn't take me long to figure it out. They're good students. They want the heck out because of this stuff. And when you're so upside down as a civil rights leader that you're out in front of a school marching to defend the bullies who jump kids and make it impossible for black kids to attend school so they have to go virtually. And those kids are soaring, by the way. Don't feel bad for them. They've got great but a lot of them are with the grandparents. And I think what's happening is mom and dad are out working. Grandparents are home. It's a family effort. It's awesome to see. Just get them the heck out. And it's going to get worse. The bullies just won around. Thanks to the so-called civil rights leaders of our city. who have lost their minds. Texter writes, Terry, you're spot on. I'm black. I moved to send my kid to, and then there's a space, Eastside High, because I knew it was safe. Best decision I made. I would never send my kid to a school like Berea or Carolina. Just look at the ratings. I don't mean to bash any school here. I think that the staff did the right thing, and that's the problem. I mean, what if you don't want them, this is what somebody should ask Mr. Quarles. If you don't want them to break up a fight when a kid's getting choked out, what should happen? Just let the bully win? Let the bully choke him unconscious? Is that what should happen? They never have an answer for it. And their objection is that some of the staff that broke this up were white. Well, what would you have them do? Oh, that's a black kid. I'll just let him choke the other black kid out. Yeah, that'll work. I feel so bad for these kids. Texter writes, Tara, what really sucks about Joe's dementia is that he does not understand how much he is despised and does not get the Let's Go brand. Folks, we can officially now say that Joe Biden has dementia. He is demented because his own son mocks him for it in texts. And the media doesn't care. The same media that thought we needed to use the 25th Amendment to take down Trump. It's crazy. Texter writes, Tara, do you remember when the paddle on the principal's desk was enough to keep most students in line? I do. And I remember when administrators stopped using a paddle for punishment as well. Can you imagine, Pat? You couldn't discipline a kid that way. You know what's funny about that? My husband went to, he was from a mill family, not a lot of money, single mom, went to a really rough school where he had to survive, and he got paddled. And he still, to this day, talks about his mom defending the principal who hit him. That's gone now. I mean, that'd be an international incident at this rate. Okay, so Tara, do you remember when the paddle on the principal's desk was enough to keep most students in line? I do, and I remember when administrators stopped using a paddle for punishment as well. Fighting became more common when punishment becomes soft. This problem was created when the principal ceased being the authority figure in the schools. Yeah, and that was taken away from the principals, which is so unfair. Texter writes, hey, Tara, on the school bullying issue, let's not ignore a possible, if not likely, outcome if bullying is tolerated. In school shootings in the past, the shooter often reports being bullied prior to bringing their gun to school. Having a zero tolerance policy on bullying is an essential element of preventing school shootings. I very much agree. Texter writes, we live in the upside down, Tara. Yes, Stranger Things reference. We do live in the upside down. Texter writes, Tara, what you just said about our country being upside down right now, what you said about everything being the opposite of what it should be, is all biblical. Everyone talks daily about all this nonsense, and we ask ourselves why it is. We know why. So says Eric and Taylor's. Thank you, Eric. That was a great text. Texter writes, middle school is worst, and D7 in Spartanburg has one that is in chaos. We will never return. My son is an eighth. I assume she means eighth grade white male. Texter writes, a simple fix is to ban all cell phones from school, then start charging parents for their school's actions at school. That looks like that may happen in that school shooting, and good. Look, when dad goes out and buys a gun and it ends up used in a school shooting less than a week later, I got no tolerance for that. No tolerance. That is exactly the kind of thing that's going to cost the rest of us a gun, so prosecute him. Good.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.